This is More Than Conquerors with your Bible teacher, Pastor Ray Hagestilianos. As a teaching pastor for almost 30 years, Pastor Ray's heart and vision is simply to build up God's army, enabling them to stand strong in their faith. As the senior pastor at Living Word Christian Church in White Plains, New York, Pastor Ray will challenge you today to begin your walk in integrity and victory, forever changing your life as transformed by the power of God. More Than Conquerors is supported by the generous gifts of listeners like you. You can find us online by going to livingwordchurch.org.
In a loveless world filled with unlovely people, why does God tell us to walk in love? If Jesus said that the second greatest commandment is to love one's neighbor as we would love ourselves, does that mean to simply do him no harm? Or should I bless him too? How should I respond to him being unloving towards me? Is this love a mere feeling, or is it something far more? And because God has made no man perfect, might walking in love with our neighbor sometimes be a difficult thing? In Pastor Ray's brand new two-week series, Loving Your Neighbor by Walking in Love, we'll see that this walk is all about building a powerful, unselfish, God-centered relationship, especially with one's neighbor, but ultimately with God. Over these next 2 weeks, Pastor Ray will take us step by step on a lifelong journey of how best to love God, your neighbor, and yourself by simply walking in love.
In the book of Galatians, there's a wonderful verse that I think we need to look at. And Galatians in chapter 5, let me put on my clock here. In chapter 5, Paul is talking about Christians staying free, right? Christian liberty. My Bible says Christian liberty. And he says that, you know, the whole subject of circumcision comes up, and there's this whole talk about circumcision, being circumcised, not being circumcised, and so on and so forth. And he basically is, because the Jews of that day were trying to still continue in the practice of circumcision after the law. And so Paul was addressing this, telling them, you know, if you still kind of circumcise yourself, you're putting yourself in bondage, and you're not really living in the liberty of Christ. So this whole argument ensued, and we're not going to really focus in on that today. But what he says, he brings it all down to this one thought, and this is where we kind of built our foundation from last week. And he said, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision avails anything, but," now listen to what he says, "faith working through love." Faith working through love. So we kind of built on this foundation that we can see in this verse that we want. How many of you want your faith to work? Amen. How many of you know you need your faith to work? Amen. Because as we've discussed in weeks before, your faith can save you. Of course, it brings you your eternal salvation, but it can also save you from a lot of other trouble in your life as you use and exercise that faith against every attack of the enemy, against sickness, against disease, against financial issues, against, you know, family problems, children problems, whatever it be. When you're standing in faith, you're in a posture, you're in a position, a fighting position to bring down the forces of evil and to bring upon yourself the things that you need, require, or desire. That's what faith will do. Faith will change the very course of your life. But now we come upon this thought that we also need love, which works with our faith. Faith and love need to be working together. If our faith is going to be worth anything and really do anything and really create anything, it has to be faith that's working through love. Love needs to be, always should be our focus. Love should be our motivation. Why do I want or need a breakthrough in my life? Well, because you love your family and your family needs you, right? Why do you need a healing? You know, I need a healing because it's not just me, it's all the people that are affected by my life. My motivation always goes back to love. Whatever it is that I need or require or desire from God, my motivation always ought to be love. Let me just tell you right from the outset, sometimes walking by love walking in love is not easy. As a matter of fact, if it's easy, you're not really walking in love. If you're going to walk in love, you're going to have to make some of the most difficult decisions in your life. And here's a big one. When you're walking in love, get ready, because self is going to die over and over and over again. Your will, your desires, they're going to die over and over and over again. Galatians 5:6 says, The only thing that matters, you have all these arguments about this and that, and there are Christians that have all these stupid arguments about this and that and the other thing, and we can argue on every point of doctrine and every point of this and this and that. But Paul says, you know what? Nothing matters. Circumcision, uncircumcision, whatever you want, this is all that matters is faith, working, another word could be used there, expressing itself. Faith, working, expressing itself through love. Faith and love operating together in order for faith to really work to its full maximum potential. You got to have the right motivation, and it has to be love.
Amen.
Has to be love. All right, so we look at Ephesians. I'm just going to jump around a little bit this morning and take it to some verses, just highlight. Some of this you know, but it's good to hear it again. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, because I want to be challenged, and I want to challenge everybody in our love walk, you know, because we need it. I mean, I even hear it around people in the church, you know, like, solid people. We, in fact, I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were upset about something, about someone's personality or whatever, and they came and said, rah, rah, rah. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute, slow down. We're supposed to be walking in love. You have to be patient, right? Love is patient. We talked about this last week. Love is kind. That's not kind. That's not patient. It happened to be a Sunday morning. I said, brother, you better sit in the service today and listen to what I'm saying, because you need to get your love walk, because we can't ever, ever, ever not walk in love. All right? So that is our highest goal. So Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2. And I want to say this just for a minute, because I'm kind of sensing it, that I'm talking and people are getting convicted. Let me just help you here for a minute. If you feel conviction, don't let that turn to condemnation.
Amen.
Let that conviction be what its intended purpose is, conviction of the Holy Spirit for the purposes of you being motivated to change something or fix something or alter something. Can I get a better amen than that?
Amen.
All right? So don't get condemned, because sometimes people walk out of church condemned because they mess up with what the difference between conviction and condemnation. All right? So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. So it says this, and I'm going to read this in two versions. This is the New King James Version. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. So we're supposed to be acting in this world as God's children. So in order to act like God's children, we also have to walk with the constant knowledge that we are God's children, and that God is our Father, and that we are representatives in this earth representing God wherever we go. Wow, think about that. When you're in work, at work, you're representing God because you're one of his children. And just like you wouldn't want to embarrass your own parents or your own family name, right? You do everything, right? I mean, people, you start talking about someone's family in a negative way, they'll jump up and they'll defend. Like, you can't say anything about someone's family, mother, father, right? Am I right or am I wrong? Well, we're supposed to be doing the same thing in the world. You see, that's why, like, when people use the name of the Lord in vain, boy, that irritates me. Now, sometimes I just have to remove myself from the situation because I don't know someone well enough, and I don't want to start, you know, I don't want to get slugged or, you know, so I just walk away. But if I know somebody and they use the Lord's name in vain and they curse and so on and so forth, I just bugs me. I just tell them, say, stop. How come they don't use the devil's name in vain? No, it's true, right? So they curse with an it. But anyway, so therefore be imitators of God, dear children, and listen, and walk in love. And then he describes what that love is. As Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. So if we're going to walk in love, then it's going to cost us something. Because Jesus demonstrates the highest level of love and then lays that down as a pattern through the word to us for us to follow.
Amen.
He lays down a pattern for you and for me to follow. He said, walk in love just as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. So Jesus gave his life as a sacrifice, and therefore that was the greatest experience or the greatest example of love that any person could ever give. And he said, you therefore follow Jesus' example. That's why I say we have to die all the time.
Amen.
in every, you know, many situations. We got to swallow our pride. We have to, humble ourselves. We have to forgive. We have to be the first to forgive. These things are all part of walking the love walk, which we're called to. And it's not easy. Sometimes it's not easy. It hasn't been easy for me. I don't know, maybe you're super spiritual or something, and some of you look super, but sometimes it's not easy to walk in love because people in the world especially are unlovely. And what's worse is when people in the kingdom, in the church, are unlovely. They disappoint you, they talk about you, they hurt you, they use you, whatever it be, they do things that really hurt. And it's sometimes it's really, really difficult to walk in love. But we are told, we are commanded by God. This is not a suggestion. This is a command that we are to walk in love. So be imitators of God. So he's telling us, imitate God as his children and walk in love. So we're supposed to be demonstrating God's love in the earth wherever we go. And sometimes, again, I'm going to tell you, it's not easy, but this is what God's called us to do. So be imitators of God, dear children, and walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given himself up for us. Now let me read this out of the Amplified Bible, all right? You're going to put that up, Sandy, Amplified, right? So Amplified Bible says it this way, therefore be imitators of God, now listen, copy him and follow his example as well-beloved children imitate their father. So I think there it goes, right? It's just what I just said. We're supposed to be imitating God's love and demonstrating God's love wherever we go. And this is why I think this is important for us to go over this simple message, but very powerful, important message, is because I think every one of us is challenged with this every single day of our lives. How many of you would agree with me? Give me an amen or raise your hand. We are challenged every day of our lives to be what God called us to be demonstrators, examples, God's children in the world, showing the world who God is. And really, one of the things we have to be mindful of all the time, and we have to be very, very careful of, and I'm mindful of this all the time, is that we might mess up someone's eternal salvation, because if we give them the bad example of who God is, because our behavior is so bad, our behavior is so rotten, we're so rotten because we're so angry, or we're so vitriolic, or we're so, hurtful to people, or whatever it be, or envious, or whatever it be, we're not demonstrating love. We could really turn somebody off to the gospel message. Just like you could turn somebody off to your whole family by being a bad example. A whole family is looked down upon when one person in that family, you read about them in the news, and the first thing, they do something awful, they do something, whatever it be, hurt somebody, kill somebody. The very first thing, the very first thoughts that go through everybody's mind, oh boy, look at what kind of family they come from. Am I correct? And they may be perfectly good people, the rest of them must just be one bad apple in the barrel. But the whole family gets looked frowned upon because of the actions of one. And it could be the same thing for us in the world. We have to be so careful and so mindful that everywhere we go, we're supposed to be acting like God's children. We're supposed to be acting like God's children, right? So again, as we said, love is a command. It's not a suggestion. Love is a decision, not necessarily a feeling. Love is a decision that you make. It's not necessarily a feeling. Feelings come and go. But love is supposed to be constant. If I love someone and I express that love, then I'm going to love them in the up days as well as the down days. I'm going to love them whether they are good to me or they're not good to me. I'm going to love them whatever it be, because love is not a feeling, because feelings change. How many times in a day do your feelings change? And I can prove that, because some of you got married, you were hot in love, and then all of a sudden, the real person started to come out and you started to get angry and you weren't feeling it. You weren't feeling it, and you came to my office and said, I'm not feeling it. And I had to sit there and convince you that it's more than a feeling, it's a commitment. You know how many times I've had to do that, convince couples, this is not about it, because they're still trying to go on feelings. It's not the honeymoon anymore that it once was. Amen. Yes. Things change, bodies change. Amen. People change, attitudes change. Come on, am I speaking? But love is a constant commitment because it's not a feeling, right? So love, I'm not meddling, I'm just telling you the truth, all right? I'm just being honest. Love is a decision. It's not necessarily a feeling, all right? Now, it can be a feeling, but feelings change. So I don't feel How can I say this? Like, when I engage in a friendship relationship with someone, and it's a strong relationship, and, you know, there's openness and honesty and so on and so forth, well, I would hope that that was built upon love. And not just because today I'm feeling towards you because you were good to me. You know, you're a good friend. You bought me lunch. You bought me dinner. So I love you today. But tomorrow, you know, you didn't buy me lunch, or we were supposed to do something and you canceled it on me, or, you know, you said something that I didn't really like or don't agree with. See, that's another thing in the body of Christ that really messes me up. And people don't have a walk in love. We're not all going to agree. You may like things about a person and dislike things about a person. You may have strong opinions about this and strong opinions about that. But why can't we just all get over it and just love one another and walk in the level of love that God has called us to walk in? Why? Why? Whatever the difference is, can't we just agree on this one thing, that we're all committed to Jesus Christ and we all love the Word of God and we all want to live for Jesus? Why can't we love each other and walk according to that and that alone? Right? But you see, in the body of Christ, we have, you know, so many divisions, and it's all because of lack of understanding, or maybe it's just a lack of willingness to walk in love. Because love is not a feeling, it's a commitment. Even in your family, you're going to have to put up with stuff. I do. You know, I love my family, but they're certainly not perfect, and I'm not perfect either, and I'm sure they put up with stuff with me. I don't know what it could possibly be, but I'm sure there's got to be something, right? But it's the truth, you know? So you see, but you have to put up with stuff, you know? One of my pet peeves is people being late, you know? And some of my family just don't know how to be on time for anything, you know? And I just have to suck it up. You know, we're supposed to be at the restaurant 15 minutes ago. Why are we in the car? We should have been there, you know? So anyway, I said everyone should come over at 2 o'clock. Why is it 3 and you're not here yet? Ah. And you see, so good old Uncle Ray just has to walk in love and suck it up and say, die, baby, die, just die. Just die to it. Sometimes you got to die to something to let something else live, just like Jesus. He died so that we could live. Sometimes you got to die so that something else can live. So I have to die, you know. Meanwhile, I want to say, where have you been, when they walk in the door? I say, ha, good to see you. Come on in. I've been waiting for you. Food's getting cold, but I've been waiting for you. Just come on in. yeah, you know, so sometimes you just have to walk in love, you know, and not sometimes, all the time. So love is not a feeling. It's a decision, and it's a lifelong decision. And I love people in my life. You know, my family, of course, is first and foremost. There's nothing they could ever do. There's nothing that could ever happen that would kill that love. You know, it's because it's a decision that I've made. It's not based on a feeling, that I'm going to love you until either you go to be with the Lord or I go to be with the Lord. You can't get rid of me, right? So the other principle we want to just talk about today for a few minutes is that true love costs you something. It's going to cost you, right? If you are trying to skip through life without paying a price or costing you something or having to give something, you're not really walking the love walk. You see? So it's going to be giving of your time, giving of your efforts, giving of your patience, giving of your forgiveness, giving of your money. It's all different aspects of your life. True love costs you something. And that's why I believe, I'm a firm believer that, you know, I want people to know. I want to do something tangible so that people know that I absolutely love you. And that's why I do the things that I do. I give and I bless and I do all kinds of things. I want people to know. I don't want it to just be words. I want to back it up with something. And some people say, well, it's not necessary. You don't have to. But for me, it is necessary. I want to back it up to say, I want you to know that I love you, and here's something tangible. It cost me something, and I want you to know that's how much I love you, because talk is cheap. Talk is really cheap. People, you know, love to say all kinds of things, love you, love you, love you, love you, but they never back it up with anything, you know, and you end up finding out in the long run that they're not committed to you. Is this helping now? Is this, are we getting somewhere? All right. So true love costs you something. Remember that. True love. If I say I love you, I'm going to back it up in some way. I'm going to make you know that I love you. I'm going to show it in whatever way I can possibly do it, but I'm going to show it to you because love costs you something. And it basically comes down to this. Others benefit at my expense. Amen. Others benefit. So sometimes it's going to feel like people, you know, have it on you. That's love. That's what love is. It's awfully quiet in this nice Presbyterian church this morning. Cost you something and others benefit at your expense. That's one of my sayings, right? So another thing we want to be reminded of in what we looked at these verses today, I represent the love of God to the world. I represent the love of God to the world. Everywhere I go, they need to see God in me. And we live in a very loveless world, a very hate-filled world, a very phony world. People who, you know, express love in some way are thinking, you know, again, the talk, but the talk is cheap because the minute you turn your back, they're talking about you or, you know, whatever, backstabbing you. How many of you ever had that experience? See, that's not love. That's not love, right? So true love, you know, I'm conscious of that, that this love that I have needs to be shown because I represent the love of God to the world, right? I want people to look at me and say, wow, you know, he's a man of love. Wow, that's he's a good man. He's a really good man. And not that it's my goodness, but it's God's love within me. All right, so here's a really important point. When we step out of the out of love, we step out of the will of God. Amen. When we're not walking in love, we are not walking in the will of God. So we as Christians have got to learn, and it all boils down to this one verse, and this is in John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. And John says it this way. He says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." Wow. So, you can see how important love is according to the Word of God. It's not a suggestion. It's an absolute command that you and I have got to walk in. So, here, this is what I want to say, because I want to bring this to conclusion right now. We all, everybody, I'm going to include everybody in this room, we all have to step up our love walk. Thank you for those few amens. Everybody should have shouted, amen, hallelujah, brother. You are right, pastor. We all have to step up our love walk just a little bit and be much more conscious of how we are acting in the world and especially towards one another in the body of Christ. If we love each other, we're committed to one another. We're not going to give up on each other. People have bad days. People have good days. True love stays with it through the bad, through the good, through the up, through the down. True love is going to be there no matter what. Because God is love, and we are supposed to be demonstrating that love to the world.
Tune in tomorrow afternoon at 2 for More Than Conquerors with Pastor Ray. If today's message was a blessing to you, ask for your free CD of the broadcast for a gift of any amount to help support this radio ministry. Just mail your request with your check to More Than Conquerors, or MTC, P.O. Box 8187, White Plains, New York, 10602. Be sure to include the date of the message you're requesting. If ordering a complete Bible study series, a minimum love offering of $20 is appreciated. Identify the series and include the word series in your order. If you missed any of the hundreds of inspiring, life-changing Bible study messages of encouragement taught by Pastor Ray on this More Than Conquerors radio station, such as those on salvation, healing, miracles, faith, forgiveness, and many more, podcast downloads of all these programs are yours free of charge by simply going to PastorRayNY.com or WMCA.com and clicking on Podcasts. That's podcasts at either Pastor Ray NY.com or WMCA.com. Thank you for listening to and supporting this ministry of God-centered lessons of integrity and victory from the Word of God, and being ever mindful that, as life's challenges come, God's Word is truth and will always impact our lives in a positive way in making us more than conquerors.